6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Let's get it. Welcome to the Dear Son Show. We have meaningful conversations about life through the lens of fatherhood. It's for fathers, those with fathers, and the fatherless. So nobody's left out. These are the conversations I want my sons to access as they grow through life into manhood, so no topics are off limits. I'm your only host on this episode, D. Johns. We got a fabulous guest who traveled just to be here. He had another reason, but he's here anyway. Stanley Nash Jr., welcome to the Dear Son Show. How are you, my brother?
Man, I'm good, man. I appreciate you having me. I was looking forward to this show, man. We've probably been talking, about 2 years on Instagram?
Yeah.
About getting together and working. And then finally, you know how God works, man.
I do.
You know, everything come together and it worked out perfect with the timing. So, man, I'm glad to be on this show. I like what you do, man. I'm glad to be here today.
Likewise, man. Let's see where this goes, man. We don't do any planning. Some of this is redundant. If you've heard more than one episode to listen or watch more than one episode, it's not a lot of pre-gaming because we want the conversations to be authentic and real in the moment. So let's help the audience understand who you are, where you're from, and all of that.
Well, my name is Stanley Nash. I've been doing Real Man Talk podcast here for 2 years. I'm a father, I'm a husband, I'm a brother. And one of the things that I love to say now is that I'm a person that's trying to impact the community any way possible. So by my voice being, if it's on Instagram, it's on YouTube, I want the image of a black man to be positive, and it's not always got to be in a negative light.
Little Rock, is that born and raised?
No, it was a little smaller town, Mariana, than where I was born and raised. Okay. It's probably about 2 hours.
What was early life like in Mariana?
Yeah, Mariana. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, early life in Mariana, just being a country boy, just it's a rural area.
Okay.
So I growed up a lot around my family, probably within a mile radius. I probably had 5 to 6 family members.
Dope.
So it was a community that I was raised in. And as I got older, I appreciate that more, you know, because if I got an auntie, I got an uncle, somebody's always holding me accountable of what I'm doing. And by me being raised in that area, I got a chance to see a lot of black excellence.
Okay.
Yeah. So you had black teachers, black supervisors, black superintendents, black principals and males. And so a lot of that I got a chance to see. So that kind of empowered me to want to do more in life than just sit around. I knew that I could be a supervisor. I know I could be a principal.
Yeah.
Because sometimes in those areas, it's predominantly white people.
Yeah.
You know. And nothing against white people, but it's always good to see your kind in those positions when you're young.
Right.
And so that was one of the things of my upbringing that I appreciated. And I had a very great father, Stanley Nash Sr. Oh, man, he's been so impactful in my life, you know.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't be the person that I am today because of him, you know. And so when I saw you doing the podcast, I was like, about the Dear Son, I was like, man, it touched me. And the subject that you was talking about, I gravitated to it. And so I started to listen and find out more. And I was like, man, that's something I want to be a part.
Yeah.
Even if it's from a like or a share, you know, I want to do that. But that's me, man, because I like to talk. So I'll get the rambling.
You're in the right place. And anytime somebody can take the talking off of me, I will let them.
Right.
I will let them. But that's dope, man. I like that you already led into admiration for your father. Who all was in the house?
Me, my father. And I had four siblings. I had a brother and three sisters.
Okay.
And it was my mom. And being able to see black love up front. I'm talking about authentic black love from my father truly cared about my mom.
Yeah.
And truly took care of us. So I had a great example on what a provider was. Had a great example on what a leader was. And also had a great example on how to carry myself as a man.
What do you fit into the, as my dad was, I'm turning into my father. In the pecking order of the children.
Right.
Five. I have five.
Yeah.
So that, that's gonna.
Yeah, I was the baby boy.
That's gonna lead this conversation. Cause my youngest is a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a break. So today they are 21, 19, 17, 11, and 10.
Mm.
So after the 17-year-old, we thought that was kind of it.
Yeah.
And if you keep doing the same thing, you kind of keep getting the same results.
Exactly.
So we had him back to back 2013 and 2014, but
mm-hmm.
watching him is interesting as the youngest because it seems like it's growing him up faster, but there's still some desire to be the baby, like, mm-hmm. you know, to be catered to.
Mm-hmm.
But you're, from my perspective, he's in a position where he wants to be as fast as the other children, right?
Yes.
Of course, not the 17. Well, him and his brother, the 17-year-old, are creating a bond that I like. It's always fascinated me because I was one of two. And I had an older sister. She's 5 years older. And I say it a lot. Our relationship is great now. We didn't grow up close as kids. We just weren't running in the same circle. And she went off to college. It's like, dang, I miss my sister. And when she came back, we kind of started forming that bond.
Yeah.
But as the youngest, what do you think the benefit is? I'm going to ask it that way. What's the benefit of being the youngest, of five specifically?
The benefit of being the youngest. Man, I'm going to say just being spoiled. Let me be honest. That's one of the biggest benefits. You get a chance to receive all the knowledge from your older siblings, all the mess ups, all the stuff they didn't tell the parents, all the stuff they went through that the parents don't know about.
Mm.
You get to receive that knowledge.
Mm.
Not only you get to receive that knowledge, you get to receive the gifts and the benefits of them being successful. So the more successful your siblings are, the more they give to you.
Hmm.
So I know when I was in high school, I remember I had a car. So when I purchased the car, I purchased the car myself.
Hmm.
My brother got me some sound. My sister got me some a radio to go in the car. You know, each one of my siblings did stuff for me. So it wasn't like when I rolled up in high school, so I got the 15s. You know, the Pioneer radio.
Pioneer
you
was
know,
a thing.
I had the EQ.
You had 12s or 10s. Oh,
I had
a box.
15s.
Oh, you talking about your box was 15s. I thought you talking about your wheels.
No.
Okay.
I ain't had a wheel.
You were shaking the earth.
Right. And so my parents, because they were so spiritual into the word, the rims, you know, you a little too flashy. I'm letting you get the sound.
Okay.
But the rims, you're going to be doing too much.
Now, what was you playing? Was you playing John P. Key? Or, I mean, what was you doing with the sound?
But you know what?
Because that could be something, too.
I bumped John P. Key going to the house. My dad said, listen, when you come into this neighborhood, you turn that all the way down. So when I was in the neighborhood, didn't nobody know I had sounds.
Gotcha.
But when I got outside the neighborhood, oh, yeah.
Dumping.
Yeah. Dumping. Yeah, most definitely. But that's one of the benefits to me of being the youngest.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one
thing. You said you had three brothers and a sister?
I had one brother.
One brother and three sisters. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Same with us. Three girls, two boys.
Mm-hmm.
What's your relationship? What was your relationship like with your siblings when you were young? You mentioned the high school. You know, they getting the bread. They pouring back into you.
Yeah. My oldest two siblings is 10 years between us.
Okay.
So by the time I got up older to realize anything, they was already out the house, married.
Gotcha.
So my youngest two sisters, they was there with me. And the relationship with my younger two sisters that was good, and with my older, because my parents kind of forced us to bond. So my older siblings, my parents would force me in the summertime to go over their house and spend time with them.
Gotcha.
You know, so it was always a bond there with them. I think I bond with my brother more, mm-hmm. being a male.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to be like him because he was cool. You know, I just thought my brother was so cool. I love my dad, but my dad was like a superhero, but my brother was the cool guy.
Yeah.
I wanted to be like him.
Yeah. What made your dad a superhero?
One thing that made him a superhero was that I never saw anything, any problem that he couldn't solve.
That'll do it.
Yeah. I never saw any problems that he couldn't solve. Also, just the situations that came up, he was always mellow.
Yeah.
He didn't ever get too high. He never get too low about a situation. He always had this type of patience and understanding when it came to certain situations, you know? And I was like, man, I like that about him, but Pops didn't have a cool factor like my brother had.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he was more what you call stoic.
Okay.
He was kind of like that, but my brother had that swag, dressed like this, his friends like him, he was popular, so I wanted that part,
yeah.
You know? But that's what created that bond between me and my brother.
What were the interactions like? You talked about his demeanor. I was going to ask you about that, but what do you remember most about your interactions with your dad?
Well, my dad,
and I can frame it because my dad came from, you said stoic, and that resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
My dad and his dad didn't talk a lot because from that generation, it was be seen, not heard.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So my dad was kind of the transition piece to trying to figure that out with me.
Mm-hmm.
But he lost his dad when he was young. My dad was 20 and his dad was, I think, 46 when he died.
Mm-hmm.
So he lost the piece of what it's like to have a father as a man. And then as a young child, didn't really have a whole lot of conversations with his mm-hmm. dad. So they're very specific memories that he has mm-hmm. because they were different. Right.
Gotcha.
They were not the norm. And like he said, man, my dad said he loved me in high school when I graduated. Told me mm-hmm. he was proud of me. But mm-hmm. like that's the single memory he has of that thing happening.
Wow.
That kind of thing. So that's what I'm asking. Like, what are the interactions like?
Well, I'll say it came in phases.
Mm.
When I was younger, it was more of a parental type of thing. When I was younger, he had to make sure that I was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
As a teenager, he was kind of like coach and kind of parental at the same time. As a man, he was more of a life coach, you know. So it was kind of three roles. And when I experienced my father when I was younger, he was dealing with my siblings a lot because they was hitting those different phases from teenagers, sure. adults and all that. And so I can't say that it was a whole lot of time there for me, but I kind of understood that because my mom was there. So it was still love and I got the attention that I needed. But when I was younger, my experience with my dad was more teaching me how to work. We was building picnic tables. He was teaching me how to paint, how to change oil,
yeah.
you know, how to rotate the tires,
yep.
cut the yard, make sure I'm weeding right, teaching all those things, just the tangibles of a man.
Yeah.
He was teaching me those things. And so as I got older, it was just automatic to me to do those things. And so when I got to be a teenager and I started venturing out, wanting to do my own thing and experience different things, then he was kind of like, it went from discipline and whoopings and all that to the point like, okay, I got to show you a grown man repercussion yeah. for what you're doing.
That's how life going to treat you.
You see what I'm yeah. saying? I ain't going to whoop you no more. I'm going to show you how life going to do you if you out here acting crazy.
Let me interject one was first of many probably.
Go
but
ahead.
I recall the day my dad told me he would no longer whip me. Do you remember having a conversation about it, or did it just stop? Because my dad, ironically, he told me after he whipped me, but he felt bad because he felt like I had to lay there and take it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I died done some crazy, but I think it hurt him so bad that I did what I did. And like, I think I was in seventh grade. I was 5'11", wearing a size 12, probably 165 once. Like, so I have to let him do it. Not that yeah. I would ever like fight my dad, but he recognized that this was a thing that I was laying and taking. And he was like, I never, mm-hmm. he said, the next time we square up, mm-hmm. but that's what, but do you recall if it wasn't a conversation, do you recall around when it stopped?
I can't say because see, compared to my dad, like 6'3", 6'4". You know, my mom was short, so I got my mom jeans on that part. But I think when my mom passed away, that's when it stopped.
Okay.
Yeah, that's when it stopped. So I was around 12, 13 when my mom passed. And that's when I remember that after that, I didn't receive any more whoopings after that. It was over with.
Do you recall? And I pry, so anytime you can pull me back. And I control the edits, so it's fine. How did your mom's passing impact your father that you recall?
She passed from cancer.
No. How did it? That's important. I'm saying, how did it impact your dad?
Oh man.
What changed about him that you recall?
He's more compassionate. He's more compassionate after that. I think that he had a little bit more grace.
Yeah.
Because he knew that softer. The other side, that feminine side, wasn't there anymore. So at that between that time between him getting married again and my mom passing away, he became a more compassionate person.
Okay.
And gave me more grace.
Okay.
You know, because I think he understood that I can't be the same dad because I drive him to do something else, you know. So I think that was the time that he stopped.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned the work ethic that he instilled and like that translated into your later years and into manhood.
Mm-hmm.
And you have children now, right?
Yes.
Girls only?
Two girls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is going to be interesting. So I had two girls first and then boy, girl, boy. And one thing that I, if it's to be regretted, that I wish that I had done different was transferring that work ethic that my dad gave me.
Mm-hmm.
But because I resented it when he gave it to me, for me, it was more like, I'll never cut grass because I had to cut grass.
Mm-hmm.
But then I couldn't see nobody to cut my grass. So I'm cutting the grass, but I'm not telling my sons to come outside mm-hmm. while I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. I know it's different for girls, but what translates from what your dad shows you that's showing up in how you present yourself as a father and how you raise your children?
I think everything that he showed me, he was the great example that I needed. So I didn't have no excuse not to be a good father.
Hmm.
Yeah. I had no excuse not to be a great man. I have no excuse because I had that example set in front of me because he lived that not only in front of us, in front of other people. So for me to grow up and not be a great man, it'll be almost disrespectful to my father. Almost disrespectful.
Like that.
You know, and one of the things as far as my work ethic, man, was that it taught me by working hard, you'll get the things that you want. It was times I was lazy in my life and I didn't get what I wanted, you know. And being lazy a lot of times is not even stepping up. When it's a job that you can step up and make more money, or you can work another job and be able, and because you're lazy, it's going to take you longer to get there. And that work ethic that my father gave me was it enabled me. I was able to get to a point where I know if I work hard, I'll be able to get it.
Yeah.
And I give you one example. When I was younger, I say about the 10th grade, ninth grade, I was able to get a summer job. You know, you get the summer job, yeah. Work over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And my pops found out that I kind of skipped over. He found the paperwork when they was washing him and my stepmom that I could have worked. And I didn't. So he said, I'll tell you what. This summer, I'm going to buy you school clothes. But you know what he did? He went and bought some secondhand. He went to and bought me some clothes, which was fine. But he said, I'm not buying you nothing else next year. And he stayed true to his word.
Mm.
And so when I went in the next year that I went to that summer, he said, he went and bought me some new clothes. He told me to get dressed. I filled out some applications, and he made me go to each one of those stores and talk to the manager myself about getting that job.
Yeah.
And so I started working, and he said this, you can spend your money on pizza, chips, whatever you want to, but if you don't get your school clothes, you ain't going to have nothing.
You look like last year.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And so my siblings was like, he for real. And so that was one thing that I'm glad I had siblings, because if they ain't tell me that, guess what?
Yeah.
That would have been looking crazy. But that taught me to save up my money.
Yeah.
And then he was like, you know what? You ain't going to just be working here and not paying no bills. You're going to pay some on this insurance right here, for your insurance for your car. You know? And so that taught me the discipline that I couldn't blow my money. I got to pay bills now. Plus, I got to take care of myself in the sense of buying my own clothes.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah.
So how old are your children?
I got a 17 and I got a 15-year-old.
Oh, so they're in driving range.
Yeah. My oldest daughter driving.
She pays her insurance.
She don't. Yeah. She don't pay her insurance, but I'll tell you this. I made her go half
on
the car.
I'm setting you up.
Nah.
I'm setting you up. I'll send you to be a punk like me. Like, hey. Right.
No, but she don't pay her insurance.
Okay.
Yeah, she don't pay her insurance, but she came up with some money and I paid the rest for a car.
Okay.
So, yeah.
That's respectable. Yeah, I'm a big punk.
I mean,
my kid, they don't drive new cars or anything. I'm a big believer in having a bucket. Having a bucket, your car, you and your friends need stories about whose car broke down at some point. Mm-hmm. What are you going to talk about when you're 40?
Yep.
If everything perfect, you riding around in your brand new whatever.
Brand new car.
I can't see it. So your pops, I like how you framed it, that you not being a great man would be disrespectful to him.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of pressure was that as you went through life? Man, or did you even recognize?
That was a lot of pressure. You know, it's almost that's why I understood PK kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understood the type of pressure that they was up under, because you looking at this guy that not only, because and the reason I talk so highly of my father is because you think about this. My father was going to the what they call the old folks home. Right. Cutting people hair, not charging them, out there talking to them, feeding people.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing all that before any Instagram or anything.
Yeah.
So I was with him when he was doing these services and looking out for people. So just imagine when I got older, it's like, I want to be a teenager. I want to be cool. I want to do this. I want to do that. And now I got the responsibility that all this is being instilled in you and you just going to throw it away. Everybody looking at you like, oh, you staying, son. So they expecting you to do, because this, just think about this. If somebody is selling drugs and their son coming along, they gonna automatically think he gonna sell drugs. Right. If he working on cars, they gonna automatically think he working on cars. So my dad, being the man that he is, they automatically thought, hey, this what you gonna do.
Mm.
So on me, I was like, I was kind of living a double life. Because
that.
In front of him, I had to put on a good show, had to help people and do all this stuff. Then on the other end, I'm like, man, I think that's lame. But at the same time, I'm still doing it,
yeah.
You know. So it was a lot, man. But I'm appreciative of it.
Sure.
You know, because within that pressure, when it comes down to other things in life, it's not as hard.
We, in a recent episode, we were talking about, I forgot what the title was, but the subject of marriage came up, and my co-host was talking about his dad pulling him aside before he got married to question why he was marrying a certain woman.
Mm.
And I put the clip up everywhere, but TikTok took off with it.
Yeah.
And there was so much in the comments that I had to stop reading it, because it made me realize how far removed I am from, like, the difference in my generation of what I believe my generation stood for.
Yeah.
The connections I have with my father's generation and what's happening today.
Mm-hmm.
And number one, I was just asking, do fathers still have that conversation with their sons? So I'll start mm-hmm. there. Like, what did you, do you recall having a conversation with your father about marriage or about the pursuit of marriage?
Yes.
What was it like?
Yeah, I know the exact conversation, man. And, this is going to be funny, man.
That's but, good.
Okay. Me and my wife, we got together before I got married.
Mm-hmm.
So we were staying together. And, you know, we're staying
together. Oh, okay.
Together.
So that cleared it up. Because it was like, yeah. We got together before we got married, of course.
Yeah.
You didn't show up at the wedding.
Right. Nah.
But y'all was living. Y'all was shacking.
We was shacking.
Big shacking.
Yeah. Okay. And, you know, that
Uh-oh.
Generation
Uh-oh.
Did not like shacking. And plus, they going to church. So it was definitely a no-no. So the conversation was like, I had a conversation. I said, Dad, my wife, she pregnant. Well, my girl at
the
time,
all the way.
She pregnant.
You on my street now.
He said, son, if she is good enough for you to have your child, she's good enough to be your wife. She's good enough to be your wife. That's what he said to me. And I was like, he was like, you doing all this other stuff with her, like you married. And he's like, do you love her? I say, yes, sir. I love her. Say, you care about her? I say, yes, sir. He's like, well, why you want to marry her then?
Did you agree when he said that?
A bell went off because I didn't want to lose her. You know, I didn't want to lose her.
Hold on, we got him.
Yeah.
I don't know if we got him right now. We might have him.
Yeah.
A bell went off.
Mm-hmm.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
In terms of recognizing what you have?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was so much in the comments about, from the extreme of, why would a father ask a son that's just planting negative seeds?
I don't think so.
I was like, wow.
I don't think so.
Like, wow. And then the other, a lot of the few of the comments from women, because I'm learning my lesson about generalizing.
Yeah.
But what they were saying specifically in the comments was, men need to be having these conversations before they lay down with them. And I asked one woman that said it, I said, hey, agreed. In your experience, are women having these conversations? And she immediately deflected. This video is about a man, blah, 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 blah. So it was almost like it's all the man's fault. The man, there's people said, well, the man impregnated her. Mm-hmm. That wasn't even part of the clip.
Yeah.
So that was just an assumption that was, people respond from their own life experiences.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not saying, your dad didn't say, son, you might as well marry. He was asking you questions and you agreed. So it was, you were in you were down that path, it just alerted you to do it before you lose it, I guess.
Yeah, it alerted me to he wanted me to do the right thing as far as it's like Christian values. He wanted me to do the right thing, you know. But one thing, if you don't mind me just sidestepping it and okay, so one thing about that clip, when I watched that clip, was that the father probably saw something in that woman that you can't see because you in love. Most of the time when you in love, you put some shades on and you look at that person a whole different way. What they call the rose colored glasses. Yeah. And you look at them a whole different way. And because his father might have saw something within that woman, they was like, hey, son, you ever, you know, just pulling your coattail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not necessarily planting any negative seeds, but pulling your coattail. Because he could have said, you know what, son, I don't think you should marry her.
Right.
That's totally different.
Right.
You know, and from what I got, his dad ended up being right about that situation.
That was also part of the clip.
You see what I was saying?
They were saying that the son became the father's advice.
No.
I was like, what lives have y'all lived where this is, even with clarification, people were still standing on that point. So when you said do the right thing, like that's triggering for some, because some are on that side of the right thing being that if you lay with her, marry her, or this woman is right for me, I'm going to marry her. And it sounded like both were true for you, but more like it was also she was the right woman for you.
Yeah, because I had conversation with my dad about her. You know, I had conversation about her. I had brought him around my parents.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that since high school, that I had brought a woman around my parents, because if I wasn't serious about you, why? So when she was coming around, my siblings liked her, my nieces and nephews liked her. I was in love with her, you know. And so that's why my dad said that. But if my dad thought that she was something different,
he would have said it.
He would have said so. Which a good father should.
Right. Right. Yeah. It was almost questioning what is a good father when I was reading the comments. That's why I had to stop. I was like, man, y'all are, number one, y'all can never be a father because you're a woman. But what experiences have you had or seen? Or maybe they were on the other side of preparing to be down the aisle, thinking that something was going away. And it just cut off, man. And this is kind of shifting the conversation. I know I threw an idea out there about what I wanted to talk about. This is still in that vein.
Yeah.
But so I kind of want to stay on it. But
okay,
like,
that's fine.
Fellow alumni church board to church board. If that's fair.
That's fine.
Right. And like you said, your dad was looking at you through Christian values. How much of your life have you lived for your parents based on what people think about them?
I lived a lot of it at the beginning. I lived a lot of it based off my parents.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't want them to look bad. Because it's all about not making the name look bad. That last name, you need to have pride within your last name and don't have us out here looking bad. And so a lot of stuff I did, even with my friends, I had a select few friends that I did stuff with. I might smoke weed, might drink with them, but it was only around them. If we was around another group, I didn't do it. Because I didn't want to get out within that community that Stan's son was doing that, you know what I'm saying? So, nah, I ain't want to do that. So a lot of my life, I thought about what they was thinking about. You know, how would they react? How would they feel? How would this make them look? But once I got a little bit older, I say probably my late 20s, you know, my late 20s, I really started just living life. I ain't got to live like that if I don't want to, you know, because I need to make decisions not based on him, but based off what would be best for my life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And even in the spiritual sense, like what your relationship with God is, because I realized that I was good at religion, didn't really have a relationship.
Ooh.
Because we were in a very strict, like very rule-based. So I knew what it was, and I was doing things, moving around town. Good. And the town wasn't as small to where everybody knew who you were. So I didn't segregate fans like that, but I certainly was mindful of my tone when I went out. Or if I'm pulling up to the light and I see brother so-and-so put, turn that down a little bit. And sometimes my, you know, a couple of my friends didn't really understand it, but it was, I got to the point, maybe as you did, where you realize, like, I don't even know who I am in life. I know what my habits, I know what my habits are. I know what I do, but it's more of repetition and protecting, not being what I feel, being what I was taught kind of thing. So that took me, I think the biggest drawback from that was I avoided having conversations with my dad because I just didn't think he could relate, because I never thought his life got to where mine was getting.
Mm-hmm.
Only to find out he had similar experiences later.
Yeah.
But now we're talking about, we're celebrating traumas.
Yeah.
Oh, you did that. Oh, I did that. Like that's not how I want to live with my sons. So I kind of want to go down that path of like where things may have approached or went off the rails based on that dichotomy of I'm this when I'm here, I'm that when I'm there. Mm-hmm. Like that kind of thing.
It went off the rails when I remember I moved to Atlanta.
Oh, to say enough.
Okay. So I moved to Atlanta.
That's enough.
And when I went down there,
love y'all,
I was staying with my auntie. But coming from a small country town.
Big shop.
Where, you know, you got a couple of girls like you here, you might have a girlfriend and this and that. Going to a point where the girls, it's a lot of girls that like me. There's a whole lot of more things to get into.
Yeah.
That a country boy never seen. So when I got out there, it was free because I went under that thumb. I didn't have to live the way that they wanted me to live.
Yeah.
So I ended up coming back, you know, because I slipped on a banana peel. So, you know, I migrated back. So when I got back, I saw myself as my own man. So I remember, I'm going to tell you this. This is what broke me right here between me and my pops. And I decided I'm my own man. It's something this small. We got some mail. Me and him got the same name, but I'm a junior. And I came in the house, he opened my mail, man. And that was like, that's it for me. You know, opened my mail and I flew off the hinges.
I was about to ask, did you have the audacity to lose it?
Yeah. Oof. I did. I left. I was like, this the first time that I ever stood up to my dad as far as just being a man.
Mm.
Just over some mail, because it triggered me like that, but I think it needed to happen. And so when I talked, I was like, Dad, this don't even got your name on it. Why would you open it? And he looked at me like, boy, you got the audacity. This is my house coming to my mailbox and you got the audacity. That's how he looked at me. He kind of drawn back like, man, don't make me raise up out the shit. But I stood. Like what the young folks say, I stood on business. But I was close to the door. So I stood on business heading out.
Yeah, strategic. strategic placement. Yeah, strategic right. placement.
I wasn't standing on business where I couldn't get away, but, you know, I left out. And at that point, I started to understand that I'm my own man now, Pops. Yeah. I can't listen to you. I can listen to you, but on certain things, me and you are, I can't look at you. You can't be my parent like that no more. Yeah. You know, I'm not your child like that no more, you know? So that's when that point it got to that.
Any lessons that you learn the hard way that you think you could have avoided? I got several.
Absolutely.
But just trying to be like, I think I went too far. Cause I didn't see my parents do nothing. Smoke, drink, cuss, look at things that were questionable, go places that were questionable. Talk about questionable periods of their life.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, alcohol? Absolutely. High school. Boone's Farm.
Mm.
Boone's Farm. Give me that strawberry or give me that that pineapple coconut, that pina colada.
You're right.
And like I said, that's the slippery slope that I was on.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was to the point where one time I had, this tip. And people, my parents, my parents watch the show. My dad is cool. Mm-hmm. My dad is my biggest fan. So yeah, I don't want people to think that my parents were anything other than amazing. I was just the kid that was going to figure out how to do what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a bottle, I had a half a fifth of E&J beside my bed in the house. And that became I don't think I had any alcoholic tendencies, but even just the goal to have that in that house. Mm-hmm. And number one, I think a flame was going to come out of the sky and burn me up. But like I was there. Mm. And even if I recognized it as a problem, I would have just hidden it, buried it deeper because I didn't think I could talk to them about anything other than, you know, not understanding the scripture. Well, it's not mm-hmm. that, not that far, but like if I was way off course, I didn't think I had a relationship with them where they would actually understand or have grace, mm-hmm. which later I found out they would. But that's what I'm talking about. Like any kind of lessons, like lessons I learned about money, about women that I would gladly trade them in for a conversation today.
Oh yeah.
Than going through it.
Oh yeah. I have a lot of them, but it's let me see what I want to touch on. I would say this, that part about I didn't know that my parents had another side. You know, I didn't know that because they didn't discuss that.
Yeah.
They didn't discuss that with me. So I didn't know that the different things that they went through, what their struggles was or nothing like that. And so that kind of affected me because how could they relate to what I'm going through?
Yeah.
And so one of the things I went through was drinking. That's one of the things that my pops warned me about. Because I'm going to say this. I thought because my mom, she used to drink. Mm. And I just heard about her drink. I never saw it because I was about time I got of age. You know, they was Christian people going to church. You know, you ain't see them do nothing wrong. Just like what you speaking about your parents.
Yeah.
And so when I started to have problems with the drinking, I didn't feel like I could talk to my pops.
Yeah.
I can't go to him with this, you know, because how he gonna understand? Is he not going? He not living that life. He not going. He don't know the thrill that I get of drinking and how this make me feel. I'm more confident. You know, I can go up and talk to women better. That's how the alcohol is making me feel.
Yep.
And so I don't think he can understand that. So me going and talking to him, nah, that ain't gonna help.
Yeah.
But it did. It did going to him and telling him, hey, pops, I think I got a problem.
Oh, you did go to him at some point? Wow. Wow.
I did go to him. I said, pops, I think I got a problem, man.
How did he respond?
He said, you do.
Did he already know?
He already knew.
Yeah.
He just didn't. He said, I didn't want to say nothing to you and confront you about it and drive you further away.
I asked my dad one time, have you ever seen me in a like approaching a train wreck and you just watched me? He said, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it hit me in the moment, but I get it as a parent now, especially with adult children. And you got children approaching that stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
How do those experiences, the collective experiences, impact and influence how you parent? Like, are you more open with your children than your parents were with you? I know I am for sure, but like, mm-hmm. how's it impact you?
Yes, I'm more open. I'm cool with them knowing about my mistakes.
Yeah.
I'm cool with them knowing about my mistakes. That's just to let them know I'm not perfect and you can come talk to me. Now, with me having girls, they feel more comfortable talking to their mom about certain things. Yeah. But my relationship with them has changed because I'm open about who I am. And one thing I do is like, if I make a mistake and they see it, I show them I made that mistake. But then I'm going to show them how I fixed the mistake too.
That's important.
You know, I'm going to show them how I fixed the mistake. And they saw, I remember this, man. And like I said, I was heavy into drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I think my homeboy had just got married and I was drinking at the wedding. And I brung them outside. And I think I had a half a gallon of vodka. And I think I had a half a gallon of, I think it was cranberry crown. I mean, it was a green crown, apple crown.
Apple crown, yeah.
And so.
Jolly Rancher.
Right. I took the top off the garbage can.
I
took the top off the garbage can. And I said, in front of y'all, in front of God, from this day forward, I'm not going to drink again. And I pulled both of the bottles out in front of them.
Ooh.
You know. And after I did that, they never saw me take another drink.
Wow.
They never saw me take another drink, no champagne, Nothing.
Wow.
You know, and so I think that's a big part of being a man, that they was able to see that part and not only see me do it, but stay clean after that.
Yeah.
You know.
How did that change the way you parent? Like, how did it? I'm sure you're better because of it. Can you put words to it?
Oh, man, it was a huge impact because I had to show with my action. That taught me something, too.
Be accountable to your children.
Be accountable to your children because my actions, I can talk as much as I want to. I can tell you, I can say, hey, man, I'm coming to the podcast. I'm coming to the podcast. I'm coming. I want us to work together. I can do all that talking. But if I don't put any motion towards doing it, what does it mean?
You off the list.
And then next time I hit you up, what you gonna say?
You missed it.
Exactly. But even between us talking, I was like, I'm gonna make some moves to be able to do it.
Yeah, sure.
And so when I see my children and they look at me and I say I'm gonna do something, they got the confidence that daddy gonna do it.
That's a really big deal, especially having girls.
Yeah.
Knowing a man that they can count on.
Mm-hmm.
That word means something.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll take this last thing's gonna be the last term before we arrive at our destination.
Okay.
Father of two girls that are in that state, and I'm not putting anything on them, but are of an age where they have interests.
Mm-hmm.
And because of social media and influence of the internet, they have access to a bunch of stuff. What terrifies you about parenting your girls?
Marrying the wrong man.
Ooh. 1A and 1B for me.
Yeah. Marrying the wrong man. It's not even having children or nothing like that, because I feel like that's something you can bounce back from.
Yeah.
But marrying the wrong man can, and then you in love with him.
And can't see it is worse.
They can't see it. And then as a father, as much as you pointed out, see, I got older sisters and I have saw certain situations that they have been divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And some things that my parents told them, certain things that everybody else could see, they couldn't see because they was in love. And it took a lot of years off their life.
Ooh.
And me as a father to go through that with my daughters, man, it'll be hurtful to see my daughters getting took through a situation that I have no control of. Because I saw
that hit my soul.
You see what I'm saying? You can't do anything because the stuff that they're going through, you want to help them, but when you help them, they go back to it. They go back to them because I'm in love with them, daddy. You just don't understand. And so that's one of my biggest fears is at raising girls is the man that they marry. Yeah.
You know, what's really wild about that is for a long time, I couldn't honestly want them to marry a man like me.
You said something.
Honest part. Like it's nothing sensationalized here. We just be talking honest.
Yeah.
So it was realizing that my behavior had to reflect what I wanted them to attract.
Mm.
And that wasn't always the case. And there's one thing I think the first episode of the year we were talking about 2025 goals, early episode, one of the January episodes. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I said is I want to handle my wife differently in front of my children.
Mm.
Not only specifically in front of my children,
mm-hmm.
but because I don't know that they have enough information from what they've seen to know how they view marriage.
Yeah.
Because I spent a lot of time away and in different phases, different mindsets of immaturity. And I know they generally know we love each other, but I'm like, man, I know there are times where they know we're just not talking.
Mm-hmm.
Or they know dad's mad. He never raised his hand at her. And that's a cool thing to hang your hat on.
Mm-hmm.
But did he care for her? Like, yeah. did they see him comforting her or treating her with in such a way when she's going through different moods? And I realize now that that's, and I have a, my second oldest daughter is more emotionally like me.
Mm-hmm.
Like the front is nothing is bothering her.
Yeah.
World could be chaotic under the, mm-hmm. well, under the lady said, you don't see the duck's feet moving? There's yeah. calm on top.
Yeah.
And while that has its place, especially dealing with people that you don't know their motive, I worry that because her dad is so much that way that she thinks that that's the way to push through life.
Yeah.
Especially when it seems to be working.
Mm.
So it's things like that that I'm like, man, and I thank God that my life is where it is right now, that I have way more time and I am way more focused on the emotional aspect of my family.
Yeah.
And the character that they're seeing, that I got a chance to make some adjustments. So yeah, bro, this is definitely been a valuable conversation for me. One thing that I got to ask you since it's your first time on.
Okay.
What's one thing that you wish your father told you?
One thing I wish my
father told you. Because that's the tagline that I never say.
Okay. One thing I wish my father knew.
Or told you sooner.
Okay. I got a scenario.
That's
okay.
It.
I was in high school, right? And it was some land that was available. And so it was $1,500 for the land.
Wow.
So it was probably about back then, you know, in the 90s, they was going by lots. So I could get a whole lot for $1,500.
Mm-hmm.
So my pops, he had bought two and he was like, son, I think you should get one. And I had the money saved up, but I ain't want to do that, man. I wanted to give me some J's, some jokes, you know what I'm saying? So one thing I wish he would have made me get that.
Yeah.
And I think I wish he would have told me more about real estate as a young man. He told me about money, but more about real estate in that part when I was younger. So yeah, that's one thing I wish he would have told me about when I was younger, but everything else, I think he covered pretty good.
Dope. Before we get out of here, how can the people find you?
Oh man, you can check me out on Instagram, Facebook, also TikTok. You can look up Real Men Talk Podcast. I'm a host of that. Episode drop every Thursday on YouTube, Apple, also Spotify, any of your streaming service. If you just want to holler at me just as the man, Stanley Nash Jr., I'm on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok as well.
Stanley Nash Jr. in the building. You came, you saw, you performed. I appreciate it. Got to shout out my wife. Her first of the series of children's books that she's written, the first published, is Chocolate Princess Volume 1.
Oh, yeah.
If you're listening, it's linked down below. If you're watching, you see the overlay on the screen where you can go support that. My book, Dear Son, 20 Life Prompts to Facilitate Effective Parenting, is an ebook. Link below as well. Get it. Always remember to buy black. We are the blacks. So buy from us.
Yes, sir.
With that, we appreciate you guys. God bless you. Peace.
Months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's FORHERS.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/listen. That's FORHERS.com/listen. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.